Now, the guy sitting across from me has what many artists and graphic designers would consider their dream job. He was the lead character designer on Cartoon Network's Star Wars, The Clone Wars, and is currently the art director on Disney's XD's Star Wars Rebels. He's an Irish guy, and his name is Killian Plunkett, and Killian is here now. Killian, good morning. Welcome to the programme. Killian.
Thanks very much.
I presume this is your dream job, because it's fascinating what you did in the early days. It's absolutely brilliant. This, I presume, was before you could sort of blog, before you could really email properly, before you could put up your work online. You actually sent, unsolicited, a bunch of stuff to these people and they said, get that guy.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I wish it was that simple. But yeah, it was definitely, I mean, I left college in 1992. Sure, the internet didn't exist.
No.
So I was, I would do stuff on paper and then make photocopies of it and then actually physically stick it in an envelope and send it off. I generally don't sort of plan ahead, but the one thing I did do when I was in college was deliberately send stuff out when I was still in my second year, knowing that, like, at best it'd be a year or two before anyone sort of got back to me, you know. And then after that it was sort of taking it as it comes.
To whom did you send it?
So I sent it, I actually sent it to several sort of different places. The ones that got back to me were Dark Horse Comics, who were a relatively small, somewhat independent, well, they are independent, publisher. They were in Portland. So the timing of it worked out, because in the early 90s, there was a boom in comics and they couldn't hire people fast enough to draw anything. So as far as being good, I don't know, it's as a warm body to throw at pages. And I'd also got a visa when they were handing them out, you know. It was a Morrison, so so the timing worked out. I got the visa. I had the job sort of already going at that point. I started in October and I got the visa the following spring, and I was already working for this crowd in Portland, so I decided to visit them and sort of see people in person.
Okay, you were already working for this crowd in Portland, who were quite willing to take your work and to give you work and to ask you to do stuff.
Yeah.
Oh no, he's at the door, is he? Oh God, he's not.
Well, there was, who knows?
Is there an element of you should have really maybe kept the distance?
No, I've sort of found in general that you're better off being there in person, as I'm sure you know, because the same thing happened when I left Portland and moved to New York, because that's where the two big publishers, DC and Marvel, are. You know, FaceTime, if you're in the room with someone, it makes a huge difference, and certainly for getting work in comics, because I could see other fellas doing it too. If you haunt the halls and just sort of get yourself in people's way.
And you kind of have to, really.
Yeah, I think so. I think even today, because while you can sort of telecommute and, you know, do whatever it is you're doing, and
you can't be sitting in front of.
Exactly, yeah. It makes a huge difference, just FaceTime.
All right, well then, like, I mean, like, just to go back to those days, like, once again, did you think that you might have seen something that others mightn't have seen? You saw just how big the whole comic thing was becoming. I mean, look at the result of it now in this century. Like, the multiplexes are just full. Like, Marvel, is there anything left in the Marvel vaults? Anything left in the DC?
I'm sure that they could find someone that they haven't turned into something. They might be running out of mans. I think everything man has been done, but we move on to something. It'll be everything force or everything girl.
Yeah, exactly.
Or, you know, everything thing eventually. Yeah. There are a few different.
And they're all guaranteed half a billion at the box office, kind of thing.
Well, they seem to be. Yeah, they do seem to be at the moment. I'm as curious as anyone else to see how long that sort of bubble can keep going.
Frankly, I'm surprised it's gone as long as it has. I would have thought it would have bottomed out a little bit. No, yeah, that's the Marvel comic stuff. I knew there'd be a new one this year.
Yeah.
But it's the biggest event all the time.
It seems to be. I think people enjoy it. It could be that it's fairly straightforward, if you like, and I think there's room for it. I do like
Stories, good versus evil, all the rest of it. Now, the Star Wars Rebels, where you fit in here, what is it all about for those who don't know?
All right, so Rebels is a story that's set 5 years before what you saw in the very first Star Wars film.
That's the first Star Wars film, which is 77, which is really number four of the series.
Right, but it wasn't four when it came out, it was just Star Wars,
exactly,
and then it came out again, and surprise, it was number four. It'd take someone fairly audacious to decide to release part 4, 5, and 6, and then, you know, two decades later, put out 1, 2, and 3. So the thing I'm working on is set between, or slightly before 4, if that makes sense. So it's called Rebels because it's about a small group of people that are doing their own sort of bit on independently of anyone else, or so they think, to sort of fight back against the evil empire. I mean, I think part of the appeal of Star Wars is how simple it is. It's why kids like it. It doesn't take much explaining. You know, there's goodies and there's baddies, and the goodies are trying to win and the baddies
and
are trying to...
And do we get our CP3Os and all the rest?
We do, yeah, we do. Yeah. There is the occasional cameo of yeah, the film characters. It was funny on... In this case, when I was designing the version of C-3PO that's in Rebels, Anthony Daniels, who plays C-3PO and always has, was visiting to record some voice work. So he was literally standing over my shoulder, giving me direction, which was very surreal to have C-3PO telling you that you're doing C-3PO wrong live and in person.
I'm going to interrupt there. Doing? What were you doing? So, what exactly are you doing?
So what I do is draw. Like, I'll actually still use a pencil and paper. It does depend on what exactly the assignment is, because I'll use 3D as best I can for certain things too. But if it's character, I'll actually just draw it in pencil on a piece of paper and then scan the paper in and start messing with it digitally. That's kind of rare now. There's one other fellow on the team who works that way. Most people would sort of do even the drawing part, you know, on a tablet or on a Cintiq and use software. So there's no physical drawing ever, but I still draw. Whatever way you decide to draw, you have to do it first, because drawing is still the basis for whatever you end up finishing your design as, you know? So you sort of show what the size and the proportions and the shapes are, and then once that gets bought off on, you go into finishing it up and you show different views from the front, the side, the back. It's basically like making a blueprint for a character, and then that's what gets sent to the overseas studios that go ahead and sculpt digitally the character that'll appear in the final.
Well, footage. We mentioned there, like, you know, 4, 5 and 6, which is the 1977, late 70s variety of Star Wars, and then the 1, 2s and 3s that came later.
Right.
But, like, there's much more to do. Star Wars itself and the whole world of Star Wars is actually a bloody universe of Star Wars. So what is all this stuff of Kidnapped and Havoc and Empire and Darklighter and Clone Wars? That's what you work on all the time.
I have done. The thing was that I would sort of bounce in and out of Star Wars. So,
but is this ancillary stuff too? Like, people are so interested, they want what? Is this comic-y stuff just?
There's everything. There's comics, there's video games are big.
Right.
There's novels, there's, you know, there was radio plays. I mean, if you can name a medium, they're doing something in it, you know? And it's really sort of interesting for me, because I was 7 when I saw the first one. And for me, the films are Star Wars, and anything else is, even the
ancillary
stuff I'm working
stuff.
On,
yeah.
it's like, it's great, but the films are the thing. But there are people who, for them, their favorite sort of version, if you like, is video games.
Oh, yeah, of course. But I mean, like, would you be involved in, like, the environment or the weapons or the creatures, or would you go as far as the characters?
Everything. The whole sort of difference between lead designer and art director is that your job doesn't sort of stop when you hand off the 2D. You're actually sitting in meetings about how it's lit, sometimes even how it's animated. You know, I mean, there are people much more experienced than talented.
Having said that, I'm sure you've become a bit of an expert in all aspects of it.
I wish. I haven't. I can answer email is about as far as my technical skills go. So I'm always sort of amazed.
And well, like, would the four-part series Aliens Labyrinth come before this or during this or part of this?
Aliens Labyrinth was the first thing I did.
Right.
So that was the work that I had actually started when I was still living in Dublin in 92 was the first part of Aliens Labyrinth. And then I finished that out around, well, it must have been 93. And then, you know, they just sort of kept handing me stuff, so I did a little bit of everything.
What did they notice about you that they said, yeah, this guy's great, let's just keep getting this guy from, where is he from? Dublin, Ireland. Okay, fair enough, let's take it. Did they notice your draftsmanship, or did they notice a sense of storytelling, or a bit of both?
Well, you'd hope it was a bit of both. I mean, I look at that stuff now and I think it's all fairly rocky, to be honest, but... there's that sort of old adage that you can be good, you can be fast, or you can be nice, and as long as you're two of those things, you'll get work.
Right.
Which is true for anything, you know. So I tried to be nice and good, and I was never fast. I know that for sure.
Listen, when you say college in the early 90s, what college did you leave?
I got out of DLCAD, which is now IADT.
What were you doing there?
I was doing graphic design, because they had just started doing an animation course, but I had already sort of begun the graphic design when it started, so I did it as a sort of secondary thing, but what I got my diploma in was graphic design. And it was funny because I was back last summer and on a whim drove in just to see the place, and they were setting up their student exhibit for the end of the year, so It was mad. It was a bit of a flashback. There were all these like sweating students pinning stuff to walls and worrying about it. And really talented. The caliber.
And you look upon the time that you were there as you wanted the expression, you wanted the platform to be able to express something, and you got that there in college.
Yeah, I'd say college is definitely something worth looking into. I mean, a lot of artists that I know would say they're self-taught, and that's largely because you'd sit in your room drawing, you know, instead of having a normal life. But college is still really useful for sort of expanding literally your horizons, seeing the way other people do things and what their attitudes are and what their interests are. And it does sort of get you out of your shell and open you up to the fact that there's no end to the ways you can sort of resolve any problem or challenge of design or painting.
Right. So by the way, we are talking to Killian Plunkett, who has been described as the pivotal Star Wars artist of recent times. Is that allowed yet?
Was that me mammy?
Yeah, right, exactly. Okay. Well, like, I mean, you've been involved right across the board for a long time now.
I have, yeah.
It's not like, you know, you've been there.
I've been there for a while.
Yeah. And where are you? And in the center of tech world now? You're in San Francisco.
In San Francisco, in the Presidio, which is lovely, sort of renovated military base right at the base of the Golden Gate. Very scenic, you know.
Right, and it is the centre of the tech world as well, isn't it, more or less?
The whole sort of Bay Area is. I mean, you can drive for a half hour and you'd be at Pixar, or you'd drive a little bit further and you'd be at Apple or Google or Facebook. I mean, yeah, it's mental. All that stuff is very close.
When would you say that you came in on what the Star Wars thing was? I mean, at what stage? If you say 93, 94, what stage is that in terms of what Star Wars was actually doing? When you became on board as an art director?
Yeah, well, I mean, I didn't actually start work as an art director until Rebels, so that was years later. But I mean, in the early 90s, it was sort of what some of the fallow periods, you know, the films had been over for about a decade, and the whole thing had gone from being this global phenomenon that everybody knew, and, you know, you didn't even necessarily have to see the films to know roughly what the gist was.
Oh, yeah. It was era-defining, generation-defining. Yeah. It's like when people, you say Woodstock, for the Woodstock generation. I mean, Star Wars is just, it never stops.
It has sort of become part of the background noise of the culture. Everyone sort of gets the references. But around the 90s would have been one of the sort of more, if you like, periods of subsidence. It wasn't as big a deal, and it didn't really get big again until, you know, 1, 2, 3 came
out.
There were novels and stuff, and there were the comics, and I got to work on some of them, and there were a few video games, but it was really the late 90s was where it started to sort of build up.
And do you look upon Dark Horse now nostalgically and say, oh, they're one of the days, the early days?
Well, they're still around. And, you know, they've always published things besides Star Wars. I mean, Dark Horse is the home for all the Hellboy comics,
right,
which are better. I mean, I like the films in parts, but the comics are great. Sin City was a Dark Horse.
Yeah.
What else? The Conan is something they're printing now, new stories. So they've always sort of been a little more offbeat and quirky, and they're still doing their thing. So, you know, I'll run into them from time to time at conventions. And
Has there much crossover, TV, comic work, all the rest of it?
There is a little bit, yeah. There is, especially now, you know, I mean, if someone's designed, say, a comic character that gets turned into one of the million Marvel movies that's coming out this year, they may actually get, you know, contacted to help realize what that might be, or at least have their work used as a basis for what the film version may end up being.
Do you know, Killian, when I think of animation here, I always think of it as being a big scene. I mean, like in the last bunch of years, all those kind of brown bags and Oscar nominations and all the rest of them. Lots of people involved in animation studios here, doing lots of things. Do we punch above our weight in terms of just...
animation? It was funny. When I started my first week working on The Clone Wars, which was 2005, and everyone sort of knew, and it's a small crew, and we were just sort of saying hi. The fellow who was sort of heading up the actual animation, if you like, the working out the poses and stuff of the characters, was from Ballybrack. And that, you know, his dad knows my Uncle John. It was hilarious, but he wasn't the only Irish fella there. There was Greg from Belfast, who was sort of heading up the way faces would work, because faces get their own separate rig to how the body moves.
And we've had Will Sliney on this program here. He's artist for Marvel, Secret Wars, and Spider-Man,
right,
and Avengers, and X-Men, and Defenders, and all that. So, what's going to happen next? I mean, where do you go with this now? I mean, like, are you involved in the Star Wars movie?
I haven't. No. It's funny because it is being made in the same building, and you'll see the people that are working on it after lunch or whatever, and they're very friendly. But I mean, I don't ask any questions, and you know that way.
That's not what you're doing.
No, it's not. No, and they can tell me no lies.
Donald Gleason was in that too. Yeah. Well, what is next for you? Do you just keep working in the universe that is Star Wars, etc.? Is that it?
Not necessarily. I mean, it's it for now. And it has been fun, and it does change over the years, you know, whether it's the scope of the project gets bigger or exactly what it is I'm doing in it has changed enough to stay, you know, interesting. So, you know, like I said, terrible at planning ahead. I don't know where I'll be.
Okay, well, you are in San Francisco, where you kind of have to be. I'm sure you couldn't do it from Dublin anymore. You really would have to be face-to-face all the time, obviously, with the studios that you get all the stuff to work on, etc. Okay.
Yeah, specifically For working in comics, you could do it at home. You really could. And people do.
Right. And by the way, just if there was advice to the same person that you were 20 years ago, I mean, now you can put stuff up there and just say to anybody, look, just take a look at my work that's up there.
I would say be open. Something that I've noticed with people, whether they're interviewing for jobs or if you do sort of a portfolio review with students, people tend to decide that there's only one thing that they want to do. And if they don't get the chance to do that, they won't even go for anything else. And I would say just be open, because you never know. You know, I certainly didn't plan to end up in animation. I was drawing comics. And
by the way, while you're over there, I mean, another piece of advice always is the fact that, like, you know, you're doing something and then something comes along and says, look, can anybody do this kind of thing? Always take the next gig. You'll be amazed. You'll definitely be able to do it, even though you think you won't be able to do it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's the thing.
Look at the Aegis that are doing it already, says you to yourself.
Yeah, sure. If they can do it, how did your man
exactly,
end up?
Yeah. Exactly. Well, listen, Killian, it's a real pleasure. So onwards. Do you like San Francisco? You do, yeah?
I do, yeah. I mean, I lived in New York, and if I had to choose, I'd pick New York. But San Francisco has its charms. Yeah.
Right. Well, thanks a million, Killian, for dropping in. By the way, you can watch Star Wars Rebels Series 1 from March 30 to Sunday 12th on April on Disney XD.